Love Talk Radio.
If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus! You've got it to believe the things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found a new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But just say today, get twisted round some other way, and they'll hurt you if they think you've lied. Nazareth, your famous son, should have stayed a great unknown. Like his father carving wood, he'd have made good. Tables, chairs, and oaken chests would have suited Jesus best. He'd have caused nobody harm, no one to love. Listen, Jesus, do you care for your race? Don't you see we must keep in our place?
We're
we
occupied.
Are occupied. Have you forgotten how put down we are? Are? I am frightened by the crowd.
Yeah.
But we are getting much too loud.
Wow.
And they'll crush us if we go too far. If we go too far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. June 20th, Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. You're on with Dr. C. Robert Jones, Conservative Radio Report. Oh, yeah. All right, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. Followers are blind. Too much heaven.
It was beautiful, but now
it's sour. Yeah. For all you Obama voters, it is sour. Yeah, Jesus Christ Superstar. Filmed entirely in Israel all those many years ago. Turned out some really great singers. Anybody remember Yvonne Elliman? Probably not. I'm just way, way old. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about something else. But today, we're going to talk about the failure of the Exalted One, the Anointed One, the Great One, Jesus? Or was he Lincoln? Or is he FDR? Who is he? Where is he from? Was he born here in the United States of America or somewhere else? Is he American? Nope. None of that. Is he the Messiah? No. Many folks have been disillusioned or have been deluded or have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray by the first African-American president of the United States. It's hard to think of a president that has been more of an epic failure than President Obama. Even Jimmy Carter is glad this guy came along. So at least he knows he's no longer the worst president ever. I mean, ever. Using the Gulf oil spill to promote green energy instead of cleaning it up. Thinking the Tea Party is a passing fad or that they're a bunch of racists. Pulling out of Iraq with no clear victory or insurgent forces, trying to rewrite history through speeches with inaccurate information, i.e. that flub about the Statue of Liberty. But no, he's brilliant, folks. No. He's a genius. He's brilliant. His IQ is somewhere up there in 160, according to one MSNBC flunky. 160. It's not exactly correct. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 130, which is slightly above average and certainly low where I come from. I'm not done yet. Getting a Nobel Prize for being the most ineffective president in the history of the United States, though some say it was because he's black. Putting all legislation on the internet for 5 days before it comes to a vote. Nope. Returning the bust of Churchill to the Brits. Tacky. Given a collection of DVDs to the British Prime Minister, which the Prime Minister couldn't use because they were not the kind that you can use in Europe. Tacky even still. Denying the notion of American exceptionalism, just plain dumb. Promising to close Gitmo, failing to do some, we're glad. And securing the Olympics for Chicago in 2016, showing up thinking it was all in the bag. Nope. Naming numerous. Naming numerous communist, socialist, progressives to his various czar positions and then watching them scurry for cover when Glenn Beck calls them out, forcing quite a few to resign. My main man, Glenn Beck. You gotta love the guy. I do. Well, you know, not like that. You know what I mean. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Government races for New Jersey, Virginia, and the Senate seat in Massachusetts all gone up in smoke because Barack Obama has been judged incompetent. The midterm elections, which Obama himself called a shellacking. Prediction that the stimulus would ensure that unemployment doesn't exceed 8%. Bowing to just about everybody. Heard he visited Disney World not long ago and laid down a nice bow to Mickey. Promising amnesty for illegal aliens to increase the population of voters for Democrat elections. I tell you what. Talk about a mess. And now, even in my own chat room, Blue Sky is talking about getting the show booked next week. Blue Sky, I'll be there. Yeah, okay. Here's the deal, folks. I'm going to go with the audio right now because I'd like for you to hear one of the most outrageous, stupidest, most insidious, dumbest, supercilious, sacrilegious, superfluous. I can't even come up with any more. Check this out, and hey, go ahead, feel free to call in. Wow. Okay, all right. Usual audio program, technical glitches. And as soon as I get it squared away and get the clip up and running, we'll be back. Let's finish up with the Obama blunders, cash for clunkers. Mm-hmm. $23,000 of taxpayer money paid for each new car sold. Top sellers in the Cash for Clunkers program, foreign automobiles. So GM didn't even get any of that jack. That's the sad part. GM got nothing out of that deal. So we got the Cash for Clunkers fiasco. We got Obama's failure in the stimulus department. We got a serious mess here. But hey, here's the deal. Even with that, we have a list of issues here. First-time home buyers, tax deduction, $43,000 for taxpayers' money for each home sold. Over 65 days since, with 65 days passed by before Obama personally handpicked general told him he needs more soldiers in Afghanistan, and it took Obama another 70 days to get some troops over there, and certainly not the number that the general asked for. And Obama said the employment rate would not exceed 8% because his stimulus package. Well, it's now hovering by 9.1. It went down to 9. Back up again. 49 of the 50 states, not 57, as Obama said that there were here in the United States. Mr. Genius said that there were 50, that he had visited 57 states. Okay? I get the idea that we don't have that many. Okay. I mean, I could be wrong. Only 14% of the stimulus money had been released with a year and a half to go. Obama's national health care will cost over $1.5 trillion. Now, the figures are leaning more toward $2 trillion. That's $2,000 billion. 85% of the people do not want it, nor will use the program. Obama has not stopped the derivative program that put us into this financial quagmire, and I predict that we're going to have a serious crash. You know what, Obama? A famous lady said this once. The funny thing about socialism is, pretty soon, you run out of other people's money. Who said that? It was the great Margaret Thatcher. Pretty soon, you run out of other people's money. Truer words were never spoken. Think Obama's figured that out? I somehow don't think so. I get the impression that this guy's a clown who doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. But there are still people out there who believe that this guy's brilliant, that he's a genius. A genius. Meanwhile, most of the people who are saying that this guy's, you know, pretty much God Almighty, who's saying it? Black folks. I'm not afraid to say it. Black folks are out saying that Barack Hussein Obama is the best thing that ever happened to America. But here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with that right here and right now. African American unemployment is at 16%. While unemployment among the general population is about 9.1%. CBS News correspondent Michelle Miller reported that historically the unemployment rate for African Americans has always been higher than the national average. However, now it's at Depression era levels. The most recent figures show African American joblessness at 16.2%, folks. For black males, it's 17.5%, and for black teens, it's nearly 41%. So all of my brothers and sisters who are out there who are saying, hey, leave Barack alone. Barack Obama, he's doing the best he can. It's not his fault. He's doing the best he can. He's just trying to get everything squared away. It's George Bush's fault. Okay, so while you're out of a job, broke, and blaming George Bush, completely overlooking the fact that your great president, even my own brother, can we talk here? Even my own brother, Tesla's in the house, Blue Sky, GGT, Cougar, even my own brother. I'm gonna get personal here. I'm gonna get real personal with everybody here right now, and I'm gonna let you into the window that is the Jones family fiasco. My own brother complained to me the other day that he voted for Barack Hussein Obama and Obama didn't get him a job. That Barack Obama, he basically said that Barack Obama told him personally and that he was going to get him a job. And it's been 2 years and he has no job. No, I'm saying it right here and right now. My brother's unemployed, but like so many others. But the difference here is that my brother is black. And apparently my brother assumed that because a man of a similar hue as he would be in office, that all was going to be good. That everybody's going to be beautiful. And we're all going to sing Kumbaya, and it's all going to be lovely because we're all going to get houses and new kitchens and new cars, and we don't have to worry about paying our mortgage because Barack Obama is going to do that for us, and we're going to get gas for our cars, and you know, the usual stuff. So my brother now, thinking that because a black man is going to be in office, that he was going to live large. He felt very much like the lady right here who said all of this.
Peggy Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment.
Why?
Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
So, my brother, we'll call him Mr. Jones. He felt the exact same way as this lady here. Happy days are here again. That there would be reparations. We get 40 acres, maybe a little bit more, and a mule or two, you know, maybe two mules and a tractor. But the problem with this scenario is that it's delusional. And the rest of it is this, which I explained to my brother yesterday. I explained to him exactly this. None of Obama's ancestors were slaves. Not one. Obama's father was the son of a powerful and wealthy Kenyan chief of the Luo tribe. Barack Obama did not grow up in the slums of some inner city. Neither did we, by the way, but that's beside the point. He grew up in Hawaii and was raised by his well-to-do grandparents who loved him dearly and who paid the hefty tuition to a pricey prep school so Obama could have the benefit of a superior education. So while my brother is complaining bitterly that the brother did not fulfill his promise to give a job to my brother, the other brother from another mother didn't fulfill what my brother believes is a solemn oath, a promise to give my brother a job. He's upset. Well, that's too bad. It really is. I felt bad for my brother. I told him I'd send him a couple of dollars, see if I can help him out. But he's still very much upset. And meanwhile, Obama's saying that, hey, the reason why my brother doesn't have a job is because of those pesky ATMs. That if it weren't for those darn ATM machines, that my brother would be employed. But so I told my brother, don't go and take out his lack of employment on an ATM machine this week. You know, because you know, a lot of black folks believe what they are told when they are worshiping Barack Hussein Obama. It doesn't matter how crazy it is. You will not believe. If I told you, you wouldn't believe the craziness I have been hearing over the course of this weekend. Now, we have a family reunion coming up, and I will be there. And I'm going to be surrounded by Obama worshipers. And I'm going to tell you what, when I come back from that reunion and we get together here, all of us, GGT, Cougar, Blue Sky, Richard, Tesler, I guarantee you that there are going to be some of my family members who are going to be blaming ATMs for the fact that we don't have jobs. And they're going to agree with Barack Hussein Obama as to why we don't have jobs. But I agree with my man Alan West when he talked about it.
Cause of unemployment is too many ATMs. We need to have more bank tellers. The heck with technology and innovation and information technology growth and development. We just need to have more bank tellers. As a matter of fact, we probably shouldn't have cell phones. Let's bring back Lily Tomlin and we have switchboard operators once again.
Absolutely.
And gas lantern fillers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And street sweepers, real street sweepers. Well, I think because they're practical. And as I discussed a little bit earlier, we have an ideological chasm that is developing in our country. And if we don't get some spending control measures in place, if we continue to expand the federal government so that they can, you know, accommodate all the victims that it's making and all the people that are becoming dependent upon it, then we're going to miss out on the great dream that is America. So we've got a window of opportunity. We've got to turn this around. And if we don't do it within that window of opportunity, I'm afraid for our country. You know, the thing is that we need to be focusing our economic resources right here. It really does concern me when we're talking about giving billions of dollars to Egypt when we don't know who's in control of Egypt in the post-Hosni Mubarak era. You know, we've got to look internally, and we've got to strengthen our economy right here. We've got to come up with the right economic and tax policies before we start trying to go out and, once again, bail out and be a savior to the rest of the world. So that's where our focus needs to be.
So I directed my brother to Alan West's comments about the ATM machines and the fact that it's the fault of those ATM machines that's causing all the trouble around here. Innovation, ATM machines, it's everybody's fault. Our commander-in-chief refuses to take responsibility for even the slightest things that go wrong. And on one of my favorite websites, the Fox Nation, there's an article that speaks to the 10 reasons why Obama is a one-term president. Has anybody seen it? Check out Fox Nation, and you get a chance to read the 10 reasons why Barack Obama is a one-term president. I'll go ahead and read them off to you if you can't get there. Less than 2 months ago, buzzing from the president's gutsy call to eliminate Osama bin Laden, liberal pontificators had practically sworn Obama in for his second term. For the GOP, the sands are rushing through the hourglass, Roger Simon wrote in a column whose title had wondered whether the president was invincible. He claimed that with Geronimo KIA, the Republican field has been fried like an egg. In reality, the president's short-term popularity boost had fried the long-term judgment of his supporters, apparently. Anyway, this is what was written here on Fox Nation. Fox Nation, 10 reasons why Obama's a one-term president. We're going to run it down. Candidate Obama attracted independents. President Obama repulses them now. The president entered office with an approval of 62% of independents. The latest Gallup poll shows support of just 42% of independents. Similarly, the political moderates key to his election have deserted the president as immoderate policies have emerged. They simply aren't enough liberals for Democrats to lose moderates and win elections. No Democrat candidate over the last half century has won the presidency without winning moderates. Indeed. So that's reason number 10. And I dig it. Anybody else? We have a call on the line.
Hello?
You're on the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yes, Robert Jones, I was listening to you talking about your brother didn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know a lot of brothers that's got jobs since this president been president, and they're enjoying every bit of it. Because, you know,
really?
They lost the jobs. Yes, they didn't have a job before he came in office, but they got one now. Because all the jobs skipped over to another lane.
What are they slinging, rocks
no,
or
wood? No, they are engineers. They are
okay.
Lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And they do a little bit of everything, doctors and nurses.
Are they running?
That's how you think about it as a rock slinger. See, that's how the Marine taught you to be. One way, hoorah.
Oh, that's
yes,
global.
They did. That's the way they teach you.
That's not.
Think one way, straight ahead. Do what we tell you to do. Nothing
listen,
else. Don't
listen,
turn left, don't turn right. Just go straight
ahead. Okay, listen.
Okay.
How many of these so-called black folks do you know personally that have jobs? Are you making this up?
I just saw you that. No, I'm not making it up.
You sure?
They enjoy life. And the president, and it ain't got nothing to do with the president. or why they voted for the president.
All right, but
that's
listen
your problem.
Okay, but listen to this. I love it when you call me. I mean, I really do.
I'm so glad you do.
Yes, CBS News, hardly conservative.
You know what CBS News means to me? The same thing Fox means to me, nothing.
Okay, but the, but
I'm talking about
people
I can see every day, not
okay,
the news.
But,
they just only print what they want
to
print.
Here's the are you disputing the reports that African American unemployment is at 16%?
Yes, I am. And you know why I say that? So y'all can run around Hollywood, African Americans is 16% unemployment. Why? If it
because,
is, you need to look at the Congress to see why. Because how many bills have they sent up there for the president to sign to make anything in the law since they've been up there? None.
Well, here's the thing. We're not doing
the
whole.
We're trying not
to do the whole socialist thing where we redistribute wealth and give money.
Yeah, they redlining and everything.
Service.
We already know how that happens too. They redlining the jobs.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and read this to you, and then you tell me what you think. Okay. CBS News reports the economy and jobs will be an issue in Washington for 2012. While unemployment among the general population is about 9.1%, it's at 16.2% with African Americans and higher still for African American males.
Now, who's telling us this?
Wait a minute. CBS News correspondent Michelle Miller reports that historically, the unemployment rate for African Americans has always been higher than the national average. However, now it's at Depression-era levels. The most recent figures show that African-American joblessness is at 16.2%, as I indicated earlier. For black males, it's at 17.5% for black teens. And for black teens,
this
it's
at
teens. Nearly 41%.
Excuse me, you're talking about teens, and then you're talking about people. If a teen don't have a job, and his mother and his father have a job, so what if he doesn't? He can create a job if he wanted one for real. So it's not the president.
No, it's not the president.
You say so it is.
I know.
No, that's banks holding on to the. They're redlining.
It's everybody's fault.
We see that all the time. That's what they're doing. Redlining the job.
Is ATM
they have because they don't have no job. What job do they have for anyway? What?
Maze, is it the ATM machines too?
What about the ATM machine? I guess because the cotton fields went away and the hands from the people went away and then the machinery took over.
Okay.
We don't hear nobody talking about that. And then you talking about West. You talking about Alan West? He didn't know what he's talking about. He's just running his mouth. He's going to be just like Michael Steele before it's over. They're going to kick him out throw him out in the dirt, too. That's what I think. Like they did Armstrong Williams.
Right.
They see they're just trying to build up. And that other man is Kane. That's his name.
So, once again, it's not President
Obama's
fault.
He should be ashamed of himself. No, it's not.
It's not. No.
Because there were no jobs before he got here. And if that party that we call the Republican Party, if they did 60 years ago, doing the same thing now, go back and read the history and you will see exactly what they're doing when they ran the black people out of their party.
Before Barack Obama.
They didn't have jobs then. So
before Barack, during the Bush administration, unemployment hovered at around 4%.
Yeah,
that's
right. I bet it did.
No, it's a fact.
Yeah, right.
So, what's the deal? What's the problem here?
What's the problem?
Yeah, you can't blame Bush for that.
Did it hover around with the black community? Did they have jobs coming out of their ears and everywhere? America don't have any jobs here anymore. They sent them all overseas. If you had a business, they bought it out and sent it away from here.
Mate,
and America is not really broke anyway. I don't know who they think.
Let me get a word in here.
Okay.
The reason why jobs are going overseas is because America is the second largest taxing of corporations in the history of the whole free world. The first is the Japanese. The second is the United States of America. We tax and tax and tax and tax some more, and it runs businesses off where they go to countries where
I don't care about things.
Look. Well, that's the reason why. Stop taxing companies into oblivion, and companies will come back to America. We'll have working Americans again, and everything will be groovy. And even some of those non-existent black folks that you're saying are engineers and doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, they'll actually have real jobs.
Those people are not Indian. Native Americans. See, that's where you're wrong, too. Call somebody an Indian.
Okay, sorry.
Just like calling them a name.
I'm not politically correct. And sometimes I even use the word stewardess and secretary.
Whatever you use.
And
so
janitor.
We have So now we don't have the people qualified to do the work over here, so you got to get people.
Mm-hmm.
Next we'll be having presidents coming from other countries to be president of this country because we don't have anybody qualified to do the job after the president we have.
Right.
Because you can't find anybody in the Republican Party clean enough to get the
All right, Mays, listen. I just rolled off the 10th reason, number 10, why Barack Obama will be a one-term president. Let me go with number 9.
Let me give you
listen to the rhetoric. All right. Barack Obama faces a redder electoral map than he did in 2008. The 2012 presidential election is more than a year away, but the Electoral College has already shifted 12 votes away from blue states and toward red states. Most of the states gaining electoral votes in the census voted for McCain. Almost all the states losing electoral votes voted for Obama. Even the states that Obama carried that added electoral votes, Nevada and Florida, to name two, don't seem locked to go to the president in 2012. The loss of electoral votes isn't fatal to Obama, but it is a handicap. What do you think of that, Mays?
Yes, it's a handicap when you're redlining, and of course everything's a handicap. Just like when people get ready to go vote, that's going to be a redline too because they're trying to fix it to where people can't just go vote. Why can't voting be just an open door where you can just go in and vote if you got the right to do it? Go in and do it and be through with it. We go over to other countries and tear them up for them to have the opportunity to vote, but over here we can't even have the opportunity without the Republicans trying to redline the whole situation of voting.
Thank you, man.
So we got one president in with a 5-4 vote that he didn't win.
Right. Okay. So hold on.
Not bad people.
Okay.
Bad Supreme Court justice.
Thank you. I'm going to go with issue number 8. The issues have changed. Gallup's monthly most important problem survey is a problem for the president. What is troubling the American people? Over the first 5 months of 2011, Americans point to the economy at 29%, unemployment 26%, the deficit 13%, and government 11%. The issues most salient to voters uniformly work to the incumbent's disadvantage. When Iraq, health care, the Republican mishandling of the economy mattered to voters, Obama could go on the offensive. It's difficult to see how he scores points in 2012 on the issues that resonate with voters. He'll be on his heels. Mays?
What are the issues is what I want to know. Your issues are different than the issues I have.
No.
And I didn't vote for the president to give me a job and everything that happened, I don't think it is his fault.
But check this out, Mays. When you go to the gas station to put gas in your car and you're paying almost double what you paid before Obama came into office.
And maybe I'm making almost double money.
Whose fault is that?
Since he's been in office. It's not his.
So it's good? So you have no problem with the high gas prices?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you have no problem with high food prices.
I have 1,000 people in the poll, and they don't represent nothing.
You don't have any problem, right? You don't have any problems with anything.
It's only 1,000 people
in
the poll. Just like I said, it's 1,000 people don't represent nothing
to me. Mays, are you okay with all the high prices?
Yes, I am.
You good?
Now you want me to explain to you why?
No, you're probably rich. You're filthy rich.
No, that had nothing to do with it. If you have stock in gas, if you bought gas stock, wouldn't that make you happy? The extra money you get from that, you can put it in your tank.
Did you buy gas stock?
Yes, I did, long time ago.
Okay, so you're good.
Yes, I am.
But family members, do they have gas stock?
Oh, yes, we went in all did
cousins,
together.
The whole family did?
Yes, we do things together.
Cousins,
since
too?
Since some of y'all don't think that happened that way.
Cousins, too?
I think it's about 215
so,
of them.
So what did you
and we
do?
We all know each other.
Did y'all go like to the family reunion and pass out gas options, fuel options?
No, we didn't. I was telling them about it.
About
it. And it was like word of mouth. I was telling them about it, and they all invested.
All right.
Now, what else you need to know?
No, we're going to move on.
So y'all don't think we can do nothing besides look for somebody else to give out something?
Right, exactly. But hold on a minute. Let me run down number 7 here. The blank canvas isn't so blank anymore. Other than Williams, Jennings Bryant, and Wendell Willkie, and I'm sure Mays knows who these folks are. She was around when they were young folk. Who is the major party nominee with a skimpier record than Barack Obama's? He could vote president in the Illinois legislature and run away from U.S. Senate votes while running for higher office, but presidents can't remain blank slates for long. The unpopular Obamacare, a sedative stimulus, ineptness in the face of the BP oil spill, and defiance of Congress in starting a third Middle Eastern war have all painted a presidential picture that has calcified conservative opposition, alienated moderates, and disillusioned liberal supporters. Mays, talk about it.
I'm still asking you, and so what do you think the Congress is getting? Nothing. They don't even get a vote. So when the next time election comes, what are they going to be? Right at the bottom, because that's who he's supposed to be getting the bills from to sign. He hasn't received anything because they're so busy redlining and doing everything they can to make it impossible to make him look bad. And every step they make, they step backwards.
So once again, this is not Obama's fault.
Do you believe everything you hear? No, it's not.
So Obama's doing...
How could it be his fault when he came into the mess?
So you believe that Obama's doing a great job?
Yes, he's doing a great job to me.
Okay.
But I wasn't looking for him to do nothing for me in the first place.
May, can we be...
didn't look at Bush to do nothing for me.
May, let's be serious for a moment. Let's be
serious
for a moment.
I'm being serious. I did not look for the president to do anything for me.
Mays.
I didn't look for Bush to do nothing for me, so that's why I'm the way I am.
So America can just go completely to hell, and it won't bother you one bit.
That's where they're taking it. The Republicans are taking it that way because of them being envious and jealous.
So
that's why it's happening that
way. Barack Obama's the man, right?
It's their fault because they're not doing anything to try to change the things. They lying about trying to say this happening.
Mays,
and I don't believe it.
Mays. You know what? You talking. You know what? I try to be respectful of callers that call me.
I'm gonna be
respectful to you because I like you a lot.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna just stop before I say something that I will probably not feel good about after this show is over. I think that you're a smart person, but I think that you're pulling my leg here.
How can I be pulling your leg? I'm just telling you how I feel
I think you really care about this country, and I know that I suspect that you believe that Barack Obama is screwing the pooch here.
It's like I'm saying, if 1,000 people thought the way that I thought and they gave you a poll, you wouldn't even believe it.
Okay. Well, apparently
that's why 1,000 people don't mean nothing to me. That's just...
All right. Let me rattle off number six now.
Okay.
My goodness. Demoralized liberals. Left-wing activist Ralph Nader encourages a primary challenge. Ohio Democrat Dennis Kucinich sues the administration over Libya. Netros conferencing goes boo-hoo to the White House communications director Dan Pfeiffer. Rather than rejoice at the universal health care bill that eluded predecessors, or the introduction of open homosexuality in the military, liberals decry Obama for retaining Bush-era taxes, playing warden over Guantanamo Bay, and launching a new war in Libya. Never can Democrats satiate their cannibalistic base. If you think this is an overstatement, feel free to examine the teeth marks on the political carcasses of Al Gore, Jimmy Carter, and Lyndon Johnson. Leftists may not primary this president or siphon votes through a suicide third-party bid, but neither will they work or give at the levels they did in 2008. Mays, do you feel the love of 2008 for this president?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I have no reason not to. See, because I don't take what other people put out for me to look at. I look and see what for myself. I don't need nobody else's opinion. And then I give him back.
The love tonight.
So now what else do you have to ask me?
Okay. No.
I know you're not used to people like me.
No.
You know,
You're thinking
you're only
it's all
one side of a story.
So you're thinking there's going to be a groovy kind of love going on in 2012. Well, Barack Hussein Obama gets reelected by a landslide, and he is christened once again the Messiah.
Regardless if he get reelected by a landslide or he get reelected by two votes.
Okay.
It don't really matter.
All right, so let's move to number five. Stay there, Maze. Don't go away.
I'm listening.
After 8 years of big government, Bush, an unwhelming...
Don't interrupt.
You can't interrupt. Hold on. After 8 years of big government Bush, an underwhelming primary field, and a scleretic... Oh, man. Do I even remember what that word means? A general election campaign, conservatives could be given a mulligan for sleepwalking through the last presidential election. Conservatives, just 34% of the electorate in 2008's election, compared to 42% of voters in 2010, from Tea Parties to raucous town halls, the political dynamic of the country has been altered. It showed in 2010 when Republicans added 63 House seats, 7 Senate seats, and 6 governors. Nothing invigorates a party's base like an aggressive ideologue of the opposing party occupying the White House. The GOP clearly has the momentum heading into 2012. Maze, talk about it.
No, they don't have no momentum. I don't know where you get that from. All them crazy governors, them 26 governors, they're just what they're doing. They asking for recalls and everything else. Wonder why.
Explain that one.
Ohio and Michigan. I'll explain the recall. Explain
the
why they're trying to get a recall.
The recalls are at the behest of unions who simply do not appreciate having to put 2-3% of their own money into their own pensions. They balk at putting their own money into their own pensions. They would rather me or you, Mays, if you live in those states, if we lived in those states, to put our money in to pay their pensions. They don't want to put any of their own money in. So because they're so dissatisfied with the thought of putting their own money into funds that will serve them in their declining years, or their golden years, if you will, They're gonna try to get recalls done to get those people taken out of office who insist that they actually use some of their money for their own pensions.
They don't want the people that
unfair
when they was
that?
Asleep and went out and did what they did, and half of them didn't win anyway. It was
that is so unfair.
It was
not
right at the ballot box. But that's not why I called you. I was going to call you about this doctor that was on last week. I don't remember his name. Him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they get paid, you know, from companies to give people drugs and stuff, and mm-hmm. they getting paid for it. Nobody never discussed that part about those doctors. And then why can't it be like it used to be? You don't have to have an insurance company. Just pay your doctor like you used to pay him and go on about your business. You got to have a third party in the middle, and then where they got to raise your insurance and all of this unnecessary stuff in order to go see a crooked doctor.
That's called Obamacare.
No, that's not Obamacare, because some people, until Obamacare came in effect, some people didn't even have any insurance, couldn't go no place to get insurance.
They still don't.
You could have had a headache, and then they don't throw you out of the insurance company.
Maze, I have gone to the emergency room on more than one occasion.
No.
Listen, let me finish my thought. I have gone into an emergency room at least 3 times.
And people pay your pension
in
too.
My adult years without any insurance card or any identification whatsoever to suggest that I had insurance or didn't. I simply went into the emergency room. I was asked if I had insurance. I said, yeah, but I don't have the card with me. She said, don't worry about it. Sit down over there. We'll get to
they
you in a minute.
They had your name, so that's and all they needed.
No. I wound up paying out of pocket a little bit later on. They sent me a bill, and I wound up paying out of pocket. The thing is, I was taken care of. I was given my little 3 or 4 stitches or whatever. And I was sent on my way, and a little bit later they sent me a bill. There's not a person here in the United States of America who cannot go and get medical care if they need it here in the United States, whether they have insurance, whether they have insurance or not. And you know what? And you know what? They should. There's no way that anybody in this country should get something for nothing.
Which I'm trying to tell you, it makes no sense. You can buy insurance, you can pay a certain amount of money a month, and then somebody else has the same insurance you got, and they're not even paying that amount of money. And it's not making any sense, and then you got to go to see the same doctor. He might charge this one patient $300, and he might pay this other patient $3,000. So you got them sitting up there screaming and hollering about something, and then they're going to give you these sample drugs that's killing you anyway.
I'd love to have this conversation.
So that they're making money from the drug company. They intertwine with each other. Drug companies and the doctors.
Dear, that was the previous show with the.
That's
with
what
the doctor.
I'm saying.
Why didn't you call in?
I did. They kept saying that they couldn't pull me up, and I'm listening to them talking to me. Well, we can't get this person. I was going to ask them a question.
That would be Cool Mike, and Cool Mike is one of the best there is.
Well, he didn't want to take my call, evidently. I called back.
Listen, he probably didn't even know it was you.
I called to give my opinion to that doctor.
I don't see your name here, Maze. All I see is a bunch of ones.
I don't know. That's my name. My name is 111.
Okay. All right. Look, I got to move on to the next one.
It was nice chatting with you, I think the doctors are wrong. So when they went to medical school and they did their internship, they did it on somebody else's dime.
All right. The next time we have a doctor on, you should be the first caller, mate.
Yes, and I hope I am. And it was nice chatting with you. I hope it helped you out a little bit.
Thank you.
Have a nice night.
Hey, you too. All right. Maze, folks, she is a dear, even though she's just out there where the buses don't run when it comes to our president. And we have another call on the line, 704. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hi, can you hear me, Doctor?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Hi, Dr. Jones. I was told by some friends of mine listening to your show. I'm glad they did. They told me to. I was just listening to that conversation about healthcare, and I just wanted to point out, like, healthcare is a service just like any other service, right? And because of that, you have a finite amount of it. You can't just make it materialize out of thin air and say, well, they must provide it. It's a right. No matter who runs it, whether the government or an insurance company, it's always going to be rationed because there's no other way to do something like, you know, when you have unlimited demand but limited supply, which is the problem with everything in reality. I mean, that's real life. That's the economy. So since that happens, I mean, we have to look at the fact that if you say, well, you know, all people should get equal health care. I mean, that sounds nice on the surface, but then when you realize we have a shortage of doctors, which is causing the price to go through the roof, which means you're going to have to ration. You're going to have to decide either with insurance companies or with government or with my preferred method, which is going back to a free market method, direct payer, not single payer. Mm-hmm. And direct payer is where, you know, the hospital's self-insured and where hospitals and doctors had payment plans. And I think she was more right than she realized. She was advocating, believe it or not, for free market health care. She was saying where you paid your doctor directly. She didn't say free. She said where you paid your doctor directly. That is free market health care. Before the HMO monopolies under Nixon and HEW under, I think it was Ike, I mean, you didn't have these socialized issues. You didn't have the price rapidly expanding, even though technology was increasing. So I think she's well-intentioned, but, I mean, just common economic sense would tell you when you've got a limited supply of health care and an unlimited demand, somebody's going to have to get rationed somewhere. And unfortunately, you know, the poor are going to have to get rationed. Look, I'm not rich. I grew up poor. You know, I grew up poorer than I am now. But I grew up really, really poor, right? I live in a bad neighborhood. A lot of my friends were murdered in drug gangs and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that makes me ignore reality and realize that, you know, if somebody's going to have to get rationed, who are you going to take it from? Are you going to steal from the doctor? Are you going to steal from rich people? Because no matter what, you're stealing. I mean, you can say, oh, no, it's taxes, it's not stealing, but when you send a government thug to my house, whether he has a nice uniform on or not, and I respect his job or not, that badge, whatever, he's still pointing a gun at me and telling me, you give me that money or you're going to prison. That's theft.
Yeah.
That's not
you're
moral.
Exactly right. We have a little bit of static on your phone. Hopefully
I'm
you can square
about
that away. But, you know, Maze advocates the direct payer route because she is incredibly aged. And she was around when the doctor would come to your house and then you would give him like a chicken, you know, or maybe some maybe a pie, you know. Yeah. So I mean, and I couldn't agree more. And you know what? You made a fantastic point, and I hope that Maze is listening to that because she stumbled unwittingly, most likely, as smart and beautiful and wonderful as she is, into more of what we're talking about, direct paying, and maybe she's a closet conservative. I don't know, but you know, you're exactly right, and so is she. I mean, I couldn't agree more to all of that. I really do appreciate the call. I'm going to go ahead and run down number 4 of our list here. You going to stay on, or you want to?
I'm going to go ahead and get off because I can hear the static, and I don't want to ruin your show. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're
you keep up the good
welcome.
Work, sir.
Thank you for calling in. That was a great call. All right. I don't. It could be, but Skype has been known to be a problem. But I really did appreciate his points of view. So I mean, we had to let that one continue on, because he made some really great points. And so did Maze. I mean, even though she was around when we were given, you know, you give a chicken or a pie or maybe a pig. Anybody see the movie Doc Hollywood? It's not one of my favorite movies, but it's on the list down there. And in the movie Doc Hollywood, you know, Doc Hogue was getting, like, you know, a chick and a pie. You know, he was getting a few dollars here and there. And when Doc Hollywood came along, he was paid by, you know, he got this really big pig. I think it was not a pig, but a hog. And, you know, and there was payment for his services. And I think a lot of folks want to go back to, you know, paying the doctors themselves, as opposed to getting paid through Obamacare or some other way. So hey, I want to get to number 2, but I also want to go ahead and play this clip because I think it's really funny and I think you might enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and start it off. It's titled Obama Attacks Job Killing ATM. MRC TV responds with a nice ATM response. Check it out.
And Joseph.
I'm Joe Shosto.
We're with MRC TV. Now, the other day, President Barack Obama came out and said one of the reasons for the sky-high unemployment rate is because ATM machines have taken away jobs from real people.
Where a lot of businesses have learned to become much more efficient with a lot fewer workers. You see it when you go to a bank and you use an ATM. You don't go to a bank teller.
Now, despite the fact that these ATM machines have been around like since the 1970s, we thought we'd do our part to help the U.S. economy and get people to sign petitions to ban job-killing ATM machines. Let's go.
Please.
Would you like to sign a petition to ban ATM machines to create more jobs?
No, thanks.
So essentially, what this comes down to is, you don't want to ban ATM?
Yeah, well, I'm unemployed, but I don't think that's going
to
do it.
Excuse me, sir. Would you like to sign my petition to ban job killing ATM machines? All right, thank you.
Sign a petition to ban job killing ATM machines, people. The ATM machines are taking our jobs.
Whose jobs have been lost in the banks?
Yeah, we're just, you know, it's this economy right now. We can't.
And besides, it encourages people to spend.
I will sign it because
this way. Yeah, you get rid of ATM machines, then you can have a person do the job.
Abandon? Ban them. Just so to create more jobs and boost the U.S. economy.
So you're helping the economy. I hope you know that.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, man. We gotta get rid of these ATM machines. The truth is, there are people who could be doing these jobs.
Do you know how stupid that sounds?
Sign a petition to ban job-killing ATM machines?
Yeah.
What this comes down to is, I don't know if you heard, but Barack Obama the other day said that machinery jobs, like the ATM and banker jobs, have just gone about because of machines.
No, it makes sense.
If you get rid of ATM machines, then you can have a person do the job.
We're just trying to bring the unemployment rate down, put Americans back to work. You agree with this, right?
I agree with it.
100%. You like jobs, sir. You like jobs.
They're not eco-friendly.
They're not eco-friendly.
They're not.
And besides, the banks have money. We need our money. It's killing us.
Do you agree with that? I think that's why we're out here.
It's like the Boston Tea Party where they threw all that tea into the harbor. This is the ATM party.
To get rid of the self-checkout.
at grocery stores. Yeah. They're getting rid of...
I know, right? I mean, it's like everything's becoming automated.
Eliminating ATM fees would be a good way to start.
Well, no, I mean, we're not talking about just the fees. We just want all the ATMs gone.
I mean, period.
Yeah, I don't want to get a fee anymore. Here you go. Get rid of the machines. What easier way?
Back away from the ATM machines. You're killing jobs.
All right, our genius-in-chief, 160 IQ, according to Chris Matthews, talked about how brilliant Obama is. He says that ATM machines are the reason why folks don't have jobs. So there were some people in this clip who actually agreed with President Obama. There were two or three people who believed that, yeah, hey, that'll be a good idea. But there were some smart folks out there who said that this is just the stupidest thing in the history of the free world. Our genius president, the smartest man in the room, the smartest man on the planet. They don't come any smarter. We have a caller on the line in 215. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about what you had just stated about the reason why the job market has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it has changed because a lot of the lower tier jobs, they're being replaced by automation. So people are finding it hard to go into the labor market if they don't have high level of skill, either through education or through experience. And secondly, in terms of the healthcare situation, the doctors, they perform a lot of unnecessary tests on the patient, and they bill it to the insurance company. And they do it that way because they're trying to avoid lawsuits because their individual malpractice insurance is very high.
Yeah.
And so what the country needs is some form of tort reform.
I agree. But the president said
that problem.
But that was brought up numerous times during the healthcare debate, and the president said that he didn't believe that that was the answer. He really said that.
Trial lawyers have a tremendous lobby in Washington, D.C. The trial lawyers have a tremendous lobby, and they're able to shoot down like any type of legislation that comes up in regards to tort reform.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, citizen. Do you honestly believe that automation is a job killer?
Yes, it is, because what happens is that if you are on the lower end of the skill level, and you work at a factory,
mm-hmm.
What automation is doing is it's replacing people.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a factory hiring 1,000 people to, like, put together widgets, if they have robots that can do that, they can only have, like, they only need 100 people.
Yeah.
So automation, also, if you look in the grocery stores now, they have the self-checkouts, so they don't have to hire as many people on cash registers.
Yeah.
Because of the fact you can do it yourself. They replace a lot of these smaller retail stores. They're getting phased out, and people are buying what they need online.
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually, if you are, like, of low skill in the marketplace, it's very difficult for people to find something. They have to have a marketable job skill in order to get something permanent and something which they would have health benefits. Because the way they're doing it now is these corporations, they're taking the low-skilled people into the temporary labor pool, and they're hiring them in as temps, meaning that they're only working when they're called. And as a result of them working that way, they're not getting the 40 hours per week. So what the companies do is they hire a whole bunch of temps. They work them for like maybe 25 to 30 hours a week. They don't pay out any health benefits, and they're able to keep their labor pool of their low-skilled workers that way.
That is, I mean, I've been making fun of this whole thing and Obama and his stupidity, but actually that makes sense to me. However, wouldn't the fact that these low level jobs, like for example, a teller or something that I mean, doesn't there have? I would assume. Here's my thinking: an ATM machine needs servicing. An ATM machine needs repair. An ATM machine needs a lot of different things. For that one ATM machine, it's my line of thinking that for every one teller that is out of a job, for every one ATM machine, there are five or six employee jobs created in order to keep that machine running. You did not agree?
Well, what the bank does is it will contract out the services on their ATM machines. So they may have one technician. He may do, he may go through in one workday, he may repair like 25 machines in one workday. And mm-hmm. they may have like 15, they may have 15 to 16 technicians that do like a region. So say if you have 10 to 15 banks in a region, you can have one technician can do that entire region. So, you know, they have, like, special companies that these banks will have a contract with for all repairs to the ATM machines, and those are the companies that come out and repair them. All the bank has to do is to make sure that they have money inside the machine.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we know that there's just one person servicing all of these machines? How do you know that? I mean, what information do you have that tells you that for every – I mean, here's what I'm asking. I want to be completely clear. What is the ratio per job creation for every one ATM machine put in service? Is the number a negative or is it a positive number?
I would say overall, automation is reducing the number of people that are needed, you know, for a particular job. Mm-hmm. So automation is what is causing this kind of temporary labor pool to be created at a lot of these companies. And if you are a lower skilled worker and say you want to get a job as a cashier and you apply to a company and you know they own a lot of stores and they're hiring cashiers, they will hire you in into a temporary labor pool. And you will get like 30 to 35 hours per week to work, but you won't get any health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And you will come to work when they ask you to come. So they may ask you to do the morning shift, the afternoon shift, or the night shift. So, you know, that's the way they're able to get around paying health benefits. The way I'm doing the whole thing as far as the technicians on ATM machines, I'm going by the model that's used whenever any other type of technician works. Say you have somebody that is in charge of pest control, or like I'm using a model of, say, like an ADT or like a home alarm system. I'm using that model. The way they do it is they have technicians that work regions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an ADT technician, he works a region and he'll do, say, 10 to 15 homes in a particular region. And so the entire company located, say, in a particular area, they may have 10 to 15 technicians, and they divide up the area according to the different regions, and those technicians just stay in that particular area. So I'm using that model of the way these repair technicians work. So I'm assuming that the bank, if they contract out work to have their ATM machines repaired, I'm assuming they're using that same model.
Let me ask you this. Well, let me just say this. Technological advancement is inevitable. It's the way of the world. I mean, we once had the Marconi wireless, and then we moved into the realm of the telephone, and then even more advanced forms of communication. Should we simply stop innovating? And should we educate ourselves and adapt and make ourselves a valuable commodity in that we learn technology, we get to the point where we create jobs for ourselves by learning more and putting more and advancing our own skill set, as opposed to complaining about ATM machines and such taking jobs away from working folk?
Well, I think that at this point, certain groups, maybe racial groups or ethnic groups that have had difficulty working in the American labor market, they have to learn to adapt to the new labor market that is soon coming. They have mm-hmm. to educate themselves. They may have to create their own jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would require them to become an entrepreneur to kind of create their own business. You know,
yeah.
that may come about in the near future because there won't be enough jobs to go around. So,
therefore,
you know, people are going to have to be proactive about their future. But one thing that we've all talked about on some of these blog talk shows is there are certain racial groups that have problems with the educational system.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to repair that and instruct their children that are under the age of 15 now to look, you have to be very serious about getting a marketable job skill, because if you don't, you're going to have a very difficult time trying to support yourself or your family. So if there's anybody listening that has children under the age of 15, you know, that should be the kind of lesson that the parents should be constantly trying to tell them over and over again, is that, you know, the world is changing rapidly. You know, and by the time they reach an age where they're ready to go, you know, like into the labor market to get a permanent job, you know, they're going to have those skills there.
Well, you know, and I agree as well. I think that, but my issue here is that the administration and Barack Obama in specific has called for investment in technology, innovation, green jobs, blah, 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 blah. And then, on the other hand, as usual, he complains that technology is the reason or a part of the problem in job creation or job stagnation. Which one is it? You can't have one or the other. If he wants to... If he wants to increase funding, or as he calls it, investment in technology, then on the same, it seems to me like he's saying it's okay. I mean that you're going to lose jobs as a result. You can't have it both ways.
He's not going to be able to stop the technology from advancing because other countries are advancing as well. So therefore, you know, it's like opening up a Pandora's box. You know, once this thing has started, it's not going to stop. So, therefore, the groups that are the most vulnerable that have had problems, they're going to have to learn to adapt.
Yeah. I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think that technology is not going to stop. We're not. I mean, it's like that idiot Jesse Jackson Jr. who complained bitterly on the House floor that iPads were the reason why we had 9.2% unemployment at the time when we did have that number. We're down to 9.1 now. But I mean, there seems to be an overwhelming number of excuses and this blame game by the administration and liberals of almost anything, including inanimate objects, as to the reason why there's bad employment, other than the president himself taking control of the issue and instead of goofing around and simply not doing his job.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that based upon the way the economy is moving, this new economy is conducive for parents, if they have small children under the age of 15, to teach them while they're young to be serious about school and to make sure whatever you do, you acquire a marketable skill by, say, the age of 21, so that when you move forward in your life, you're able to get a permanent job where you can have health benefits and so forth, because otherwise you'll be forced into the type of situation that people are finding themselves in now, is people that are in, like, a form of low skill, they're being pushed into these tent pools.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're not getting any health benefits, and they're only being called to work when that particular company is calling them. So if individuals are in that type of employment, they have no control over their future.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that, we have to adapt and overcome in terms of how we and be creative about the types of jobs that we want to take in the future, because technology is taking over. There was a time, and I agree with you, and even to that clown Obama to a certain extent, back when Detroit had its heyday, when men were putting cars together by hand, and there was less automation and more hands-on working. But indeed, those were lower wage jobs. The men who designed those cars, the men who came up with the innovations, cars, windshield wipers, and seat belts, and all the things that go into a car that make it more advanced, they made the most money. They were making much higher salaries than the guy who put screws in the car to put the door on the car, and you know, all of that. So I think that there are always going to be jobs for landscapers or dishwashers, or maybe not. Maybe dishwashing will go automated, but there's always going to be jobs where you can just get a job and work and support yourself in the most basic level. But the beauty of this great country is that even the lowest paying job here in America, you're still living relatively well in comparison to that of a lot of other nations. Not all, certainly, but a lot of other nations. You're still living pretty good. I don't see the logic in blaming technology when you're attempting, as the president is attempting, to talk us all into spending more to increase technology.
No, and I don't think that, this country is in a stiff competition with Asia. And in that part of the world, technology is advancing at a rapid pace. And we're also in competition with South America now.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are emerging economies. So I don't think that, America has to keep up the pace. So I don't think that, automation is here to stay. It's not going to go away. And so we as Americans, or if we are in particular groups where we've had a problem adapting to this new sort of technological age, we have to learn to change. And maybe we need to change, in certain ethnic groups, maybe we need to make a change in terms of our cultural patterns and what we practice.
Well, that's true, and Michelle did say that we're going to have to change our way of thinking and change our traditions and change our values and change and change and change and change and change some more. I think that this clown that we call our president is attempting to have it both ways. He is once again making excuses as to why he has is the steward over an extremely anemic economy, and he is grasping at straws, and it's embarrassing. And I think that's why folks are making fun of this issue, because, you know, when you get down to the level where you're just desperate enough to start blaming inanimate objects like ATMs as to a reason why the job numbers are abysmal, I mean, it's pretty pathetic. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, currently, I think in the global economy, a lot of countries do not want to do business with the United States. And I think it's because of the corporate tax rate in the United States is the highest of any other nation. And that they don't see the American economy growing. They see it stagnating because of the amount of debt that America is under. So you have a lot of the countries in the Middle East, say like a Bahrain or say like a Saudi Arabia, that really don't want to do extensive investment with America.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly
I think,
right.
You know, this is a problem going forward. The debt is going to really, it could potentially crush, all of the future hopes of people in America. And I personally don't have an extensive network of people, but I personally know that a lot of people that are highly professional people, they just don't seek jobs in America. I mean, I personally know of people that have gone to other countries to get the type of jobs they wanted. I mean, there's people leaving now for who are Americans who are living in Japan, in China, and also in Dubai. And so you really have like a global marketplace where, you know, if someone has the right credentials, that person can live like anywhere in the world. Yeah, and that's what people are choosing to do, like in some cases.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I really do appreciate the call, Citizen. Always a great caller and always so informative. And I find myself agreeing with a lot of what you just said, even though earlier I was making fun of the clown president for using the ATMs as an excuse. I think you made some great points, and I think a lot of people who are listening will agree with that as well. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to wrap up the show right now. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. All right. That was American Citizen. He always makes some really great points when he calls in. We are going to just about wrap things up. I had a whole lot of other stuff I wanted to get out, but we're going to save some of that stuff for tomorrow's show. We're going to talk about President Obama's base abandoning him. We're going to talk about liberals being disillusioned with the president's policies. We're going to talk about a whole lot of different things as to that will, I believe, affect the 2012 election to the extent that we will have a Republican in the White House, a conservative in the White House in 2012. Rick Perry is hinting strongly that he will jump into the race. We'll talk about that. So please stay tuned tomorrow. Come on in, and we're going to talk about all these really great things. I can't wait, personally, because tomorrow's show is going to be really good. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe we can start again. Maybe we can start all over and try to get this whole thing right. And it's looking pretty good so far. So one can never tell, though, how things are gonna shape up within the next year or so, because we still have some time. We still have some time. And I'm looking forward to, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard, really, because, we want the economy to improve. We want things to be better. We want gas prices to go down. We want food prices to go down. We want everybody to be happy. And, as much as one can be. But it's like feast or famine, because if things start to shape up between now and 2012, Obama could claim a victory and thus win re-election. And then he's going to bring the pain all over again. So do we wait this whole thing out and almost hope that things don't improve? Dare I say it? Or do we hope that things do improve and hope that we can forestall any more pain and suffering that this president has caused, any more this catastrophe that'll be another 4 years? Maybe we get things to improve to a certain point, get a full Republican sweep of the House and the Senate, and then Obama gets four more years, and then we can pretty much keep him under control as a lame duck president. I am torn. These are all very important questions. Richard Martin writes in the chat room that Perry is a traitor. Oh, hell no. Perry is a traitor? That's not very nice. Why would he write that? What sort of traitor is he? Could we start again? All right, good night, folks. I appreciate everybody being here. Perry is a traitor. Thank you all for being here. Blue Sky, Cougar, Eco, Flyover Territory, really cool name. Beach Bum, Tesla. Oh, my girl called in earlier. Maze, Richard Martin, all the guests in the room, so many. Come on in the chat room. Echo, everybody else, thank you so much. Richard Martin is a traitor to Texas. Tomorrow we're going to talk about that. So come on in, Richard. And we'll talk about Perry being a traitor to Texas. Thank you all for being here. Have a great night.
I think we're going wrong. Hurry up and tell me this is just a dream. Or could we start again, please? I think you've made your point now. Get the message home before it gets too frightening. We ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please? I feel living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this. This was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again, please? Could we start again? I think you've made your point now. You've even got a bit too far to get the message home. Before it gets too frightening, we ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please? 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 Could we start again?